This evening on Vancouver Theater, a play by J. Michael Yates. Theater of War.
In a wide plain of open,
but rough ground,
battleground,
vacant lot,
now vacant,
but not always vacant,
where children play,
where armies decimate one another,
where boys play at soldiers.
The outlines of two dim figures materialize through the dawn,
very much as a photograph emerges in the developer beneath the ochre safe light of a dark room.
Except from us, most gracious God, of our unfeigned thanks for thy gracious deliverance from the wicked spirits.
One face down in the mud.
One standing over the prostrate figure, praying, apparently.
He is a man of the cloth, dressed in a priest's garb.
Or a fake.
Wearing a black cassock and white collar.
Wearing a white shirt backwards.
The serviceman, dead, obviously, is wearing olive drab fatigues and helmet.
Obviously, he isn't dead. He wears short pants and a stewing pot on his head.
29, 30, 31, 32,
30. The dead man stirs and attempts to rise.
The chaplain places his foot roughly on the back of the neck of the dead man and drives his face deep into the mud once again.
The end, we ask that you deliver the soul of this courageous patriot into everlasting peace and his spirit unto those who will follow him. You haven't counted 100 back down.
It's cold and it's wet. I'll catch pneumonia.
You're dead. You don't feel a thing.
40, 41, 42.
Dead.
Patently.
A vacant corpse.
One more vacancy in the world.
What to do with a vacancy?
That was close.
It was very close indeed, my love.
To us or to them?
Hard to say, you know?
I know. Perfectly.
61, 62, 63. Trade places.
I've been there. I was infantry last time. Oh, Lord, did this day discover the snares of death that were laid for us. Count.
64,
and didn't wonderfully deliver us from the same. Be thou still our mighty protector and scatter our enemies that delight in blood.
71,
infatuate and defeat their country. Abate their pride, assuage their malice.
The sun beaks over the horizon. The lights come up in the theater of war.
Theater? This is no play. These heaps of carnage dissolving into the earth. These centuries-old villages erased with a single bomb. Works of art destroyed. The greatest minds. This is no game. This is no human activity.
War is the only human activity.
Wars must cease. Do we women bear children for this?
For what else? You human women bear human children. The human condition is war. And allow me to correct you. There are no wars. There is only war.
From the far end of the battlefield, from behind a small mound, the voice of the enemy.
I heard that. I didn't kill that man in honest war to have some cloud-headed preacher let him get away with a short count. There's the international referee. Referee, referee, tribunal, and demand a tribunal.
Now what's wrong? Can't you people fight without arguing? Kill peacefully, peacefully. I'm tired of being wakened at all hours of the night to come out here and wade this blood-sodden field strewn with heads and entrails to settle some stupid squabble. You're all mature fighting men. You should be beyond this pettiness. And I'm a gentleman. My position is basically diplomatic. You know, when I come out here, I could be hit by shrapnel, burnt by napalm. What have I politicked all my life for? To be killed by a stray bullet? Why, you kill enough of your own men by mistake. What's to prevent your doing in an innocent non-partisan?
I shot that man between the eyes with infrared. A magnificent shot. Caught him sneaking towards my lines in the dark. And the God lover almost let him get up and dive into his foxhole. Now he's standing by while the casualty gets away with a short count.
What about it, Chaplain?
God is with us, you see. We have it right here embossed on our belt buckles. Gott mit uns. I read it in the emblem of our flag. Look into the pool of blood at your feet. The reflection.
83. I'm going to die of exposure. 84.
What about 86. It, soldier?
Name, rank, and serial number. 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91.
I have nothing to do with this war. I'm not responsible. I stay at home and mind my own business. I know only what I read in the newspapers.
Tell our listeners, madam, how the war has affected you.
I know only what I read in the newspapers.
Up. Come on, wake up. The old man will be here in a minute for a roll call. On your feet, you sissy, up.
You said you wouldn't call me that.
After a night of cramped sleep in foxholes, our boys awaken to another day of fearless and resolute protection of the homeland from aggression.
Another figure appears through the dawn's early light, yawning.
All right, hit the deck. Come on, hit the deck. Readily, on your feet. Attention!
Put that purse away, you fairy. You'll wind up discharged from the service.
Shut up. I'll tell him it's a munitions case. Don't call me that. I'm different, that's all.
Fall in!
Where's Harry?
He got it on patrol last night.
Oh, no. Not Harry. We've been together since boot camp.
I didn't want to tell you. I... Here, use my shoulder.
All right, man. All right. Now, what's going on there?
Shut up. He's crying.
Well, now, Private Tommy, get up off your duff. There's a war going on. You're in the army now. You're not behind a plow. Soon the air will be filled with our MiGs, our Messerschmitts, our war eagles, circling, shrieking the sounds of our victory. Divisions of Grand Imperial Army will press the enemy to the ends of the earth, seeking fire and retribution.
Hey, Captain.
Private Dickie.
Get lost.
May I ask your opinion, sir, of the present war situation?
Well, I'm, of course, against war, as we all are. But let me put it this way. To sit still and do nothing while the enemy takes over my country won't do.
Well, how do you know the enemy would do that?
How can we take that risk?
I only ask the questions, you know. It's my job, journalism.
Well, let me put it this way. What have I worked for all my life? I have a home, modest business, wife, children, and I'm no right-wing extremist.
You don't want your loved ones killed, burned, maimed.
That's it, exactly.
Better that the children of the enemy be burned, maimed, killed. Whole races demoralized, well, great cities leveled.
I wouldn't put it that way, but yes, what choice is there?
Look! Hey, look, it's Harry! Harry! Oh, Harry, you're back.
Man, we thought you were dead.
I was. Come here, let me embrace you.
Oh, don't hug me. Don't hug me!
Yeah, you're muddy and bloody anyway.
Man, I mean the enemy can shoot. Look at the hole between your eyes. All the way through?
Right. Turn around, let's see.
Took half your skull behind. Cleaned it out. There's nothing in there.
Oh, it's nothing. At least I'm back. Did I make roll call?
We stalled a little, huh? This ferry here, try to get
it. In! Attention! Sound up!
I
love war. I couldn't hear that. Come on, let's hear it. Let's really hear it now. Let's hear it for the folks back home. Let's hear it for the nation. Oh, Patria. Let's hear it for our emperor. Let's hear it for radio, for television, for the forward observers.
I
love war.
I've got to answer the call.
What call?
I'm going to enlist.
That's ridiculous. You've got a solid deferment.
I must. The war songs sing my blood.
Haven't you noticed there aren't any war songs being composed for this war?
Say, that's right.
And remember, it was the pressure you and your corporate buddies brought to bear on the administration that started the war. It's one thing to perpetrate a lie, but to believe it.
Yes, you're right. But I used to love the war songs. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Praise the Lord. I won't enlist.
Coward.
Morale is what I want to talk to you about. I've gathered you fighting men here for more than roll call and morning exercises. It is not, I believe, too fancy.
I'm really tired of this. Bored. I'm tired of it, too.
Well, look at it practically. I mean, consider my case. My good years are numbered. I mean, the competition. I'm pretty well preserved, give or take a few scars, a limb missing here and there, but I've got to get out now if I'm going to make it.
You filthy...
There, you see, Harry, that's why we can't get together. Discrimination. If I were colored, I'd scream discrimination and bury you.
Hold it. I know what you mean. I want to get out, get married, have a family, home, a good job. Build instead of destroy civilization.
Yeah, killing is a real kick at first, but it wears off. You know, the whole nation is applauding as I squeeze the trigger. Enough of that. I want to kill people I know. Real, personal killing. And money. I want money. All the money in the world. Just think of those banks back home, full of the money business has made on the war. And we do all the work while they get rich.
You cheap gangster!
What do you mean?
You heard me, you're a cheap gangster!
Hey, you guys, cut it off!
I'll have you all on report! I'll court-martial every mother's son of you!
You ass! You can't court-martial an entire army!
You see, students, if we approach the issue from a purely metaphysical perspective, we risk being merely academic.
And you see, students, if we come at the problem in terms of the political event itself, we risk hysteria.
And one can't take perspective on something from its center. You can't see the war from the front lines.
But we have observation planes.
They can't fly high enough. And much of the war goes on beneath the cover of the trees where the pilot can't see.
Suppose we send up a satellite.
The astronaut could see more of the world.
Very true.
Then that's the answer.
But he couldn't see the particular man-to-man fighting, and that's where the war really is.
I thought that wars were won or lost on the diplomatic level, you know, at the top. And if that's so, then the thing we need is to see is the general picture.
How true. That's where the war really is.
Where is the real war?
Who knows?
I still like the astronaut.
Once and for all, look. The war isn't just on one side of the Earth, and the astronaut can only see one side at a time. Do you understand?
Like the moon, you know. The moon.
All right, let's knock it off. We fought it out before and got nowhere. We won't settle anything
that's
this way.
That's right, man. Now, that's good, soldiers. Come to attention.
Buzz off. Soldier, in subordination to an officer?
I'll handle him. Hey, Captain Baby. Huh? You great, big, beautiful officer.
Hey, stay away from me. Eddie, you stay away from me, do you hear? I'll have you locked up. Guard! Guard!
All we have to do is get together. All we have to do is line up, stick together, and shout.
Right.
Right. Then come on, you guys, line up.
What the hell do you mean, line up? Who are you, the damn captain?
Line up, man, line up.
I'll line up with no faggot who carries a purse. Yeah. Look at him with that compact, putting on makeup.
Tommy, get rid of the purse.
No, it's an instrument bag, and I'm a medic, you see.
Okay, now line up. Look, we can't do this without organization. I don't care whether it's me who calls the lineup, or you, Dickie, or you, Tommy. The main thing
well,
is...
Well, that's more like it. I'll show you who can command. Line! Ha!
Wait a minute. No, you don't. It's time that I took over, that my kind rose up. So I'll command. I'm more sensitive.
I don't care one way or the
no
other.
No sissy with lace on his drawers is going to command me.
Line up! Attention!
Hey, knock it off, you fairy!
Get away from me, you
break
big
it up!
Fool.
Break it
ow
up!
Ow! What's he got in that purse?
Get me through to the war office. Get me the war office. This is urgent. There's a war going on.
I resent your demonstrating against the war.
It humiliates me that you won't march with me.
If we could only harness the energy that you people waste fighting in the streets, if we only put it into a bomb and drop it on the enemy.
Uh-huh. Caught you off guard.
Oh, no. I'm disfigured.
It's gone. My right hand is gone. It's gone. I'll never be able to open a safe.
I'll never have a family now. Look where the enemy got me.
Quick, my compact, my purse. What happened to my purse?
Oh, shut up!
But my purse! I'm disfigured!
Ivan! Ivan!
Get me through to the Minister of War!
At least the war isn't in our living room.
At least the war isn't in the front yard.
At least the war isn't in the washing machine.
Listen. Listen, now's the time. The enemy thinks we're wiped out.
Right. Before the smoke clears, we can make it over to his lines.
No, now's the time. Shout! Come on, line up! Line up!
Hello? Hello, Excellency? The captain here. Well, things are pretty bad. Battle fatigue, shell shock, everyone missing in action. Horatio, Custer, Hitler. You know, we can't afford to lose men like those. The prices per capita in training camps, you understand. Something has to be done. Morale is at an all-time low.
Newspapers.
All of them contradict one another.
We see only what the war correspondent sees.
Television.
We see only what the cameraman sees.
No way to know about the war.
Perhaps there isn't any war.
That's it, there isn't any war.
There's never been a war.
The young men simply disappear.
Now, we won't war anymore. We won't war anymore.
So here, the war stopped.
It was only a matter of time until won.
Doesn't say we won.
We lost?
Doesn't say that either.
You understand, I'd never call if this weren't a crisis.
Yes, of course. Yeah. The danger of divulging our strategic positions to the enemy.
Yes, well, I hope you can get through to them.
Captain, I'm not Minister of War for nothing.
Oh, yes, of course not, of course.
Mine is the most significant position in the cabinet.
Oh, I should say so.
I think we can say it is the only significant position in the entire government.
Yes.
Wars are machines, you know. And like all machines, regardless how well made, they occasionally break down. Mm. The human element, you know.
Yes.
Where people are concerned, you must expect vagaries, disappointments, failures.
I'd never thought of that.
But then I've patched up many a breakdown in the war, many a broken down war. It's my job. I'm a mechanic.
I feel much better now that you're here.
Can't you make the TV picture a little clearer?
Yes, dear. I'm doing my best. How's that?
Oh, look. There's the Minister of War on the platform now with the officer. Oh, isn't he handsome and distinguished?
All politicians are crooks.
You hypocrite. You voted for him.
Of course I voted for him. The lesser of two evils.
How do you know?
Okay. I like his looks better than the other candidate, too.
If you think all politicians are crooks, why do you bother to vote at all?
You know the slogan. Vote and the choice is yours. Don't vote and the choice is theirs.
Whose?
Theirs. How should I know who they are? I thought you wanted to watch the ceremony.
What the hell's this all about? Boo! Army, go home. Army, go home.
Hey, that guy was the captain's pretty.
They're just stolen. They know the war's over.
Speak for yourself.
Can you hear me?
I want to go home. The cannons, they roar and they roar and they roar. I don't want to go to the front anymore. Ship me up to sea where the enemy cannot get me.
What's going on?
You can see and hear as well as I can. Watch the tube.
Why don't you ever do anything distinguished?
And I present to you now the man you've all been waiting to hear, His Excellency the Grand Imperial Minister. a great and sacred honor to come forth upon this battleground of the gravest conflict the world has ever known, to address you men, the greatest citizens of our great country.
Listen to the crap.
Doesn't he have a beautiful voice?
It is not to praise war that I stand before you today. I and all of us at home know your conditions here and fully sympathize. Not so very long ago, I crawled these same trenches, or trenches like them, wore a stewing pot on my head as you do now. The shrapnel I still carry in my body is cold in my flesh. I died 1,000 times on this selfsame, blood-soaked, viscera-strewn ground. I do not come to praise war. I am here to speak with you man to man. Now let me begin by calling to your attention a few words by our official state philosopher, Heraclitus. You'll find the passage on page 29 of the Sayings of Heraclitus, your standard government issue manual. Most of you know it by heart. He writes, "War is both father and king of all. All things come to pass through the compulsion of strife. For were strife to perish from amongst gods and men, all things would cease to exist." End of quote. Now, all of you know that long ago, our emperor extended to the enemy an invitation to war. Very solemn, very formal, an RSVP. The enemy very graciously accepted that invitation. The enemy might as easily have regretted, might as easily refused. The enemy did not. In essence, then, a marriage was effected between two nations. Sacred vows were exchanged in precisely the same manner that a marriage contract is dropped between a man and a woman. Of individual wars, the so-called world wars, the Franco-Canadian War, the Russo-Mexican War, and so on, they are but points of historical reference. The activity of killing, of mobilization, of disarmament, of attack, of retreat, leaked far, far over the apparent boundaries of treaties signed and treaties broken. Bear in mind, if you will, police actions, cold wars, diplomatic threats, and 1,000 other acts of war by 1,000 different names. Now, war, I submit, is the common condition. The elemental rage for creative destruction which sinks and surfaces through the landscape of human destiny like a subterranean river. In the capitalistic state, we support free enterprise, the survival of the fittest. When a poet publishes a poem in a magazine, he has won a war against every other poet. He has annihilated thousands for the prize of the space on that magazine page. When the used car salesman sells an automobile to a buyer, he has slaughtered all other salesmen for the sake of that sale. Even the individual alone is at war with himself. He must war with will itself to bring it to bear on any problem. Any human act, be it doing the evening dishes or building a cathedral, is an act of war. Yes, indeed. There are battlefields other than those of open war. But let us come to specific cases. I begin with Mr. Average Citizen, the man who wishes to retire from the battlefields of open war to the uniform of business suit, wife, children, church, and security. Now, you, sir. You, sir, have spent your life here amid bombs and blood and strategy and military discipline and death. When you fought and lost, you were nevertheless decorated ceremoniously. Your corpse was escorted formally to your home for burial. And there have been victories, grand victories, great victories, all spoils to the victor. Besides this drama, this grandeur, the victories and defeats of the suburban homeowner are petty indeed. Here, all your needs are provided for. Food, clothing, equipment, even women when a city or village is captured. Not to speak of the regimental prostitutes employed and regularly inspected by our federal government. Here it is a matter of kill or be killed. At home, the nuance is maddening.
Larry, old buddy, I guess that takes care of you.
Now, I come now to the case of the fundamentally criminal personality on the battlefield. Who's to stop or reprimand you if you torture your prisoners before you kill them? If you loot cities while they burn? Basically, we ask only that you kill the enemy according to our agreement with the enemy government. How you kill is utterly your own affair. War is a field day for the criminal, for the thief, for the rapist, for the murderer. We will praise you. Laud your name through all history for your self-expression here. At home, as a civilian, you would soon go to prison. Or die.
Tee-hee.
Knock it off, faggot.
And last, the lot of the poor homosexual. At home, the state basically still oppresses the sexual deviant. Homosexuals at home still live their real lives underground. And there in that nightclub underground, you'll find the young, beautiful transvestites of 18 and 20. No easy competition for a battle-scarred veteran of twice that age. But in times of agony, who among even the most masculine of soldiers will notice how you soothe their distress? Think of the voluptuous young recruits who've just left their mothers and sweethearts. Lonely. Homesick. Where could you find an easier mark? No, my friend. This is your paradise. Look no further. Now, my friends, my compatriots, citizens, fighting men, think carefully before you turn in your uniforms, your stewing pots, your wooden swords, and muster out. A great nation applauds all you do here. Look around you at the expensive equipment you enjoy. Planes, tanks, radar, battleships, missiles. Not even I, as Minister of War, enjoy the thousandth part, the human amusement that the lowest-ranking croot avails himself of here in the battlefield. In conclusion, let me exhort you to remember that it was our emperor himself who signed the declaration of war, and only he can rescind that order. After signing the declaration, he retired to the innermost chambers of the capital, and no one has seen him since. But you and I, in the face of whatever comes, must sustain faith that he is either alive or dead.
Long live the Emperor! Long live the Emperor!
Huzzah!
Seek the Emperor!
Long live the Emperor!
Long live the Emperor! Long live the Emperor! Long live the
This evening on Vancouver Theater, Theater of War, a play by J. Michael Yates. John Wright, Michael Irwin, and Lillian Carlson played the three narrators. Terence Kelly, John Sparks, and Carl Wiley played the three soldiers. Sam Payne was the chaplain, Wally Marsh the captain, Roland Hunter the referee, and Joe Gollan played the enemy and Minister of War. Technical operation was by Jerry Stanley, with sound effects by Lars Eastholm. The play was directed by Robert Orchard and produced in the Vancouver studios of the CBC.